Boxing Lady.
Second segment of the 10 o'clock hour, time for our weekly home maintenance to do. And today it's all about switching and upgrading our light bulbs to LEDs. And if you haven't figured out by the music yet, we've got a representative from Fox Valley Electric, September Tanner. Welcome into the program. You're the service manager for Fox Valley Electric.
I am. Thank you.
What's the benefits of going to an LED? Not a CFL. Forget CFLs. That's old technology, right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so with the LED, of course, it's more cost efficient. That's one of the main things. You can get multiple colors as well. A lot of people like that kind of blue tint to it rather than the amber look and all. So those are definitely two of the main.
And they may cost a little bit more up front, but they even last longer than the CFLs and longer than the incandescent. When CFL came out, they were touting, 75% less than an incandescent. Well, they're touting an LED as even how much more efficient than a CFL?
The LEDs use only about 10% of the energy of a traditional light bulb. They last up to about 15 years, so you rarely have to change those ones.
So about another 25% over your CFLs. And, we've seen a lot of problems with them. You hang them upside down. Sometimes they don't always work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always dim them. An LED, pretty much, it's not a traditional light, what we think of it as a light bulb. And that's really what makes it efficient. There's no wires to burn out when you flick the switch on. You hear the psh.
Right, right. It's not a light bulb, but it acts like one. It's actually a tiny semiconductor that generates light when electricity passes through it. So like if you have a microwave or a DVD player with a digital display, it most likely has LED.
And we're not talking that when you say microwave, we're not talking about microwaves through your lights. This is just the lights on the front of the screen.
Correct. Correct.
We're not putting microwaves throughout our house with these LED bulbs.
I hope not. No.
And you said the blue color, I know incandescents and fluorescents and CFLs, a lot of people can have a reaction to their eyes to those.
Yeah, it's a lot gentler on the eyes, so it's not as aggravating when you're sitting in an office all day. It's not going to aggravate your eyes like the incandescent.
And there's a lot of different frequency that we can add to it with dimmers, so you can have it for really bright them at certain times, or reading lights, or ambient light, or night lighting. We can really control, and because they're already so much more efficient than our existing ones. In some cases, if we've got dark hallways, we can keep those lit 24/7 for just fractions of pennies.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
One of the things when CFLs came out is they weren't all created equal. And I would imagine that's probably the same for LED lights. Not every manufacturer is the same quality and consistency and reputation. Do you have a certain brands that you can direct people to as they're shopping through the shelves?
Like I said, I would definitely do the Helco. I mean, the better brand you buy, the longer it's going to last, so.
And y'all believe Helco is one of those? H-A-L-C-O?
Mm-hmm.
What will a LED, like, we're looking here at the studio and we've got a three light fixture hanging above. What would it cost to pull out those three CFLs and put three LEDs up there?
If you get a good brand, a decent brand, at least you're going to pay about $12 a piece for them.
$12 for something that's supposed to last 15 years. So at the end of it, you're down to less than a buck a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
That's efficiency. And that's a minimum. There's nothing to say that if it's in a room you use, rarely, it could last you 30 years if it's a guest room that only gets used at holidays.
Yeah, you may never change it. It may just stay there the whole time.
One of the annoying things about the CFLs is there was a certain way you had to dispose of it, and you got to put it back in its packaging, bring it back to the hardware store. If you broke it, there was a certain procedure you had to follow to clean it up, yada yada yada. Any of those kind of precautions or things that apply to LEDs?
No, those all had mercury in them, so that was the huge issue. These ones do not have that. You're done with it. Take it out, put it in the trash, good to go.
Thus far, we've been talking all interior. Can you install these on exterior fixtures as well? I know when we go do a lot of landscape lighting, it requires specialty fixtures and this and that. Could you go into those fixtures and just switch them out with LEDs?
Yeah.
Nothing to be worried about of water or any kind of weather issues?
No. No, I mean, a lot of times when you're putting the outdoor fixtures, you want them, you know, depending on where they're going, you're going to get them. They're going to be seal tight, waterproof anyhow. But other than that, I mean, you're just changing the bulb.
Now, at $12 a pop, obviously most of us aren't just going to go out and buy brand new LEDs for our entire home right away. And over the course of a year or 2 years, you can then have this completely converted over and 15, 20 years be set until your next burnout. That is pretty efficient.
It is. It's pretty amazing.
Service manager September Tanner from Fox Valley Electric. Y'all service Maricopa County for just about anything and everything residential, electric, and even a commercial division if somebody's got a business or a place of work that needs a little bit of electrical service. They could reach Fox Valley Electric.
They sure can. Residential, commercial, any electrical needs, we're here for you at 623-587-7370.
You can find them at the electrical category at rosieonthehouse.com. And that's your weekly home maintenance to-do. You can download the Rosie on the House digital app at rosieonthehouse.com/app, and premium users can update that feature in their weekly to-dos. And as you replace your light bulbs with LEDs, add that to your home's profile to increase the value for resale of for eventual resale. And then at the point they do burn out, the next user, if it's not you in the home, can see what and where the light bulbs came from so they can keep that great LED consistency and efficiency. Fox Valley Electric, you can find them at the electrical category at rosieonthehouse.com.
Romy, as long as we're on the electrical question, let's take Fernando calling in from Levine with an electrical dilemma. Good morning, Fernando.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What you got?
So here's what happened. This morning, I smelled something really bad. I thought, who's welding in the rain? And before I knew it, an exterior outlet on our home was on fire. And we've lived in this home since 2011. I've always been concerned about this outlet because it's on a wall that doesn't have any awning over it.
Okay.
And so I'm comfortable working with electricity, but here's where I get worried. When I turned off the power, I pulled the outlet. It's a 15 amp GFCI, and I'm comfortable rewiring those. But what I noticed is when I got in there, the Romex, the insulation, it burnt, and I don't know how far into the wall that goes.
Oh.
And I'm comfortable opening up that wall, getting to that Romex. My question is, how far do I dig into it? Do I stop when it gets discolored, or do I keep checking that insulation if it's brittle and keep working back? And then is my rationale correct that I would have to build a junction box to connect the new Romex to the existing Romex?
Yeah, you're exactly on track there. You're never going to want to splice wires inside a wall and not leave access to that splice. So open it up, get back to where the wire's in good shape, mount yourself a junction box, create that as a junction box. And if this is on the outside without any weather protection, are these in weatherproof outside covers?
They're in an older looking, the home was built in 2004.
Okay.
And so I was also going to ask you, am I okay going through all my other junction boxes, pulling the old cover off, putting a new bead of silicone and sealing it that way? Or is it worth the trouble to just pull them all and put on these newer big honking waterproof boxes?
Well, I would go with a waterproof box as opposed to caulking everything in place. And the point you ever needed to service them in the future, you got to make your way through that caulk, which can be kind of cumbersome, and razor blade knives in there around a receptacle and stuff like that. I'd go to a waterproof box. But if that is a GFCI circuit and you actually have the reset button right there on that outlet,
yes, sir.
It is very peculiar that didn't trip fast enough to stop the problem you've got. You may go back to the electric panel and replace the breaker back at the panel with a GFCI breaker and then refeed it. And what I would do is once the receptacle is put in, I'd have a GFCI tester and I'd plug it in and I would deliberately try and trip that GFCI. You can buy those testers and trip mechanisms for just about 10 or 12 bucks at most hardware stores. But I would, if you're going to try and do it yourself, I'd get one of those manual trippers and I'd make it trip 5 or 6 times just to make sure it's stopping, because it should have stopped before it got to the amount of damage it sounds like this got to. So, man, please proceed with extreme caution.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. I always appreciate your show.
Okay. That, I'm guessing, has something to do with a moisture-related issue, water getting into the junction box. But that GFCI should have tripped in a nanosecond.
That's the first thing I was thinking of in the back of my mind. Why didn't it trip?
Yeah, it may have with the, I don't know. That's very confusing. I'd put the breaker back at the panel box. That's pretty much how we do it anymore. Anyway, a lot of times we'll leave them out there where they trip, so you don't have to make a, like in bathrooms. We put them in there, so if the hair dryer blows it, you can reset it right there. You don't have to go outside to the panel box and reset it. But I like, if it trips, that it's tripping all the way back at the source rather than tripping right there at the delivery point like this and causing a problem. That electrical scares me, Fernando. And I would just tell you, proceed with extreme caution. I've got enough screwdrivers with arc welded bead tips on the end of it that, I don't know, the older I get, it takes a lot for me to pull out my electrical toolbox anymore. More often than not, I just call somebody and say, could you come check this out? I don't only use an amp tester, but I also have a circuit testing pin that you push the button and you wave it in the general area. And it tells you if there's still current there at all. Some junction boxes you kill, it may be a junction box that's fed by more than one breaker. And I just don't take any chances.
I'm with you on that. And then we had a caller wanting to know if those LED lights we were talking to September about were available in three-way. And yes, you don't need any special precautions on a three-way switch for the LED. So they'll work just fine.
Okay.
And I don't think we're going to sneak Kevin in. We've
not
got
this, not this site, but we will.
We're coming up against a break, so we'll take him right after that. And I wanted to see if you saw this, that the city of Tempe is unveiling an upgrade to its city building. You think?
The upside down pyramid?
Yeah. That's where the permit department's in there, isn't it? You think you'll get an upgrade in your building permit process with the new renovation upgrade?
I think it's more an administration issue than it is a structure issue.
Do you think, and their $2.3 million renovation of this building, they had to pull permits through their own system?
Yeah, they would do that. Yeah.
So you think they'd be motivated to clean up that process now?
So the job's going to get started 2 months later than they think that is.